If you love your partner, but your desire just isn't there, if intimacy feels like something that you should want, but your body just isn't responding to, you're not broken and you're definitely not alone. Because for a lot of women, this isn't emotional, it's hormonal. Today, we're having a conversation that so many women are thinking about, but are not saying out loud. Why does this desire disappear, even in a really good relationship? Why do you feel disconnected from your body or just not like yourself anymore? Carolyn Zahmeyer is back to talk about all things sex and hormones. She's a nurse practitioner and founder of Low TE Florida, and she has helped thousands of women restore their hormones, their confidence, and their connection to themselves and their sex life. And she's here to talk about why libido drops, how testosterone and estrogen actually work together, what's happening in the body, and how to tell if it's emotional or hormonal. Carolyn, it's so good to have you here. This is such an important topic, and I don't think a lot of people talk about it. There's so much shame behind it, right? Like the desire, you want such a good relationship with your partner, but you just can't get there. That's tough.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a change that nobody really prepares couples for, because when you go through menopause for women and andropause for men, when their testosterone lowers, you become somebody different. And I always say it's not fair because the woman that's here today is not the one you married or the man, and it's both of them. And why is that important? It's important. Intimacy is important for the relationship. It's kind of like the glue for the relationship. And if you don't have that, whatever your definition of intimacy is, the relation's going to fall apart. Your relationship's going to fall apart. So it's important that there's so many things that feed into it. It's not just low testosterone, but testosterone is a primary driver of sexual desires and sexual response. However, life changes, fatigue, mood changes, stress, hormonal balance, your work, all the different things about life can come into play. And your relations tend to be the last thing on the list that you want to attend to. I went through it myself when I was like probably about 49. I wasn't on hormones and I just felt like the relationship was just drifting, drifting, drifting. And, to the point that I was hiding, whenever I knew he wanted to have relations, I would hide. We had a big house, so I hid. And that's not good. I mean, and I knew it wasn't good, but if you don't correct it, you could, really lose a relationship. And that's not good. We don't want to go through that. Like I said, testosterone is the primary driver. So one of the first things you can do is get your hormones tested, get a good comprehensive lab test that goes over everything, make sure nothing else is going on besides your hormones. And correcting the testosterone can be life-changing. It can really change things. It makes you think about sex a little bit more. When you do have relations, it's like the fireworks are brighter. I have many people that say after I optimize their hormones that sex is better than it ever was. And I'm like, well, that's great. After 50, you get to have better sex than before, so that's pretty cool. But women's testosterone can start to decline like in their late 20s, early 30s, and
Wow.
we a lot of women don't know we even produce it, but our ovaries produce it. And then when that drops, you kind of lose that loving feeling, you lose that connection. And I tell people it's not your heart, it's not that you don't love them, it's just you don't have that chemical anymore that drives those feelings.
Right.
So, and there's a lot that goes into it, to increase it, more naturally, talking about it is good, the curiosity, because, how is your husband feeling when his testosterone is lowering? Why does he feel more like sitting in the chair instead of getting up and going out with you? And, I think the conversation is very, very important. And, using curiosity versus blame, well, you don't want to have sex anymore. No, why don't you want to have sexual relations? And for women with the hormone decline, it can be a dry vagina. It can be very painful to have relations if your hormones are not optimized. I had one patient that said it felt like knives stabbing into her down there when they had relations and shards of
Right.
glass And I'm like, holy Matt, you know, luckily I never went through that. But that would definitely turn you away from having relations if that's what you were feeling.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, the big thing is, you know, to address it, because men will feel like you don't love them anymore, like you don't want to be with them. You know, they'll take it and, you know, translate it in their brains in a different way, that you know, you're pushing them away, where it's not really them, it's just the activity of it isn't appealing. And then
Yeah.
once you optimize the hormones, that can change all that.
I went through it, and I feel like I felt so much shame when I didn't want to have relations with my former partner, and I felt guilty for it. And then I would find some way to blame it on him, or but I was just like, it was like I was completely turned off by him, and it was like I didn't want to be touched, and I didn't want anything to do with him. And yeah, that was really, really tough, because when you go from, like, I've always had a pretty high sex drive, and then I was like, why am I feeling this way? And then I thought there was something wrong with me, and then I started to think that the relationship was wrong, right? Your brain just starts going crazy, and it starts affecting everything.
I worked with Suzanne Summers for a couple different programs, and she always used to say that if more people had their hormones optimized, there would be less divorce, less war, and people would be nicer to each other. And I truly think that, you know, a lot of times you'll see divorces happening around menopause, and, you know, the hormones have changed, the woman's hormones have changed. So they're not, like I said, the same person, but they can be brought back to that. In my book, you have it right there behind you. Are you hormone curious? In the very beginning of it, I had two couples that wrote the foreword for it. And it's really interesting about how they have been together for like 30 years, and this really brought them back together. You know, their kids had gone off to college and all this, and then all of a sudden they're looking at each other going, okay, now what? They started on the hormone pellets, and it really rekindled everything. Now I watch them on Facebook. They're hanging on each other and kissing and traveling and, you know, having a great relationship. And they just say that it totally changed their life to the point that even if, say, financially, if everything crumbled, that they would always find the money for hormone pellets, meaning that they said hashtag pellets for life, meaning it was that important for them and their relationship. And it did make a nice difference. So that's, and I noticed that even with my own, when my hormones start to dwindle, yeah, I could take it or leave it. But if they're ramped up, yeah, let's go. Start the day off. You know, that's a good way to
No
get your blood flowing.
kidding, no kidding. Is there, I know you talked about the emotional connection being there. So is there a way to separate emotional versus hormonal libido?
I think it all kind of ties together. Emotionally, you can do your own little review on, you know, why am I not attracted to my spouse anymore or my partner? Has he gained 30 pounds? Has he let himself go? Why am I not having those feelings? And then if you can rule those out, like he's still the same man, he's still charming, he's still nice, he's kind, the whole bit, then you have to look at your own self and get the labs done. And you'll be surprised. I mean, for men, you know, a lot of times they'll be like, I don't know what my numbers are, but I'm sure they're just fine. You know, I was insulting their manliness if I mentioned, you know, testosterone therapy. And then once they do the labs, it's in black and white. Your testosterone's in the gutter. And then when I bring them up to a nice optimal level, they're like, holy cow, I'm back. And they're exercising more, they're getting more muscle definition, more energy, wants to want to go out, having relations. You know, everything is so much better.
Yeah, let's talk about men for a second. I know we spend more time talking about the ladies. When does testosterone start to decline for a man? Because in my experience, and this may just be my own experience, but I see a lot of men in their 50s that still seem to have a lot of desire. Does it happen later for men?
The libido doesn't leave as quickly as it does for women, you know, as early. I've got an
It's built
82-year-old, and
into
I've
them.
got an 82-year-old that wants help with his erection. I'm like, oh boy. So they still have the desire, some of them, but I do have guys that say they lose their libido. And the testosterone can drop in men. It can start in the early 30s, just like with women. I had one guy like 35. His testosterone was much lower than his father that I was treating. Difference, it's not necessarily the age. It's just when your body is done doing it, it's going to stop producing it. That's when you're going to feel it. And it's hard for somebody that young to think, oh my gosh, I have low T, but what can contribute to it is not just the age, but if they've had head injury, if they played football, if they had concussion, that can drop the testosterone. Certain chemical exposures can drop it. Microplastics now they're saying could drop it. So there's a lot of different reasons for it to go down, but the most important thing is just to test for it and get it corrected. It's amazing, just like within a couple of weeks, you'll start to feel like your old self, get your mojo back, hunting around for relations, the whole bit.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. And then for women, it's similar, right? It's the decline starts in the 30s. And I talked to you about this on other episodes. I never even knew that testosterone was an important thing for a woman to have. And I
Yes.
even told you that the doctor I went to see didn't check off to test my testosterone. And if I wouldn't have spoken to you, I wouldn't have asked her to do that. And so, can you talk a little bit about the women's hormones in libido and how it affects sex drive?
Absolutely. It's interesting. A lot of traditional medicine doesn't know because they weren't taught it in medical school
Yeah,
that
she
women's
literally said,
ovaries.
"Did you know testosterone was a ma male hormone?" And I literally said, and I said back, "But I have it too." And so, yeah, it was so bizarre. Yeah. So it's good to be informed.
Your ovaries produce testosterone and estradiol, and testosterone is the first one to start to decline, first noticeable one, and this you'll be still having your periods and producing estrogen up until menopause, but the testosterone is a real game changer. And for women, it helps with a lot of different things like anxiety, depression, sleep, joint pain, just your mood. It's a happy hormone. And also, if you do have the vaginal dryness, the estrogen plays into that. So they work together to support the vaginal health, lubrication, and comfort during relations. And also helps with your mood. Other things like we were talking about, psychological for yourself. Have you gained weight? Do you not feel comfortable being naked anymore? Are you not feeling good about the way you look? And you kind of have to really do a little deep dive into your own brain as to what's going on. Get a piece of paper and write down, what is the obstacle here? Because sexual relations are really, like I said, the glue to a good relationship. And I've told patients before, well, if you're not having sex with your husband, he's having it with somebody else. So you might
Yeah.
want to get on board. Because I've
Yeah.
had ladies say, oh, give me the pellet without the sex. And I'm like, what? Why don't you want that? I get it if you're a new widow or something like that, we'll dose you down a little bit. But sex gives you such good feelings. It gets the blood pumping. It gets you feeling, like a little rock star.
Yeah. It makes me this is kind of strange, but it reminds me of I used to have a dog that when he would go to the bathroom and take a really good poo, he would run around and he'd get so excited. I swear to God, that's how I used to feel when me and my partner would have sex in the morning, and it would typically be on the weekend because the weekdays was so tough with our schedules. But yeah, I would just feel alive. Like I could go run around the neighborhood and scream, and like the sun was shining. It is. It's like the best feeling ever, right?
It's a great way to start your day. If some people are still, even though all the research is out there that hormone therapy is safe, some people are still afraid of it. And if you want to try to increase your bioavailable testosterone, if you're still producing a little and you want to get the most out of it, I found a supplement that we have private labeled. It's called Free TE, and it's available on our website or Amazon. And what it does is your liver can produce a protein, the sex hormone binding globulin. And when it produces that and it attaches to the testosterone molecule, you may not feel the good benefits, of the testosterone or the physical benefits of the testosterone. So I have patients that are actually buying it by the case off our wholesale site where we sell the doctors and clinics throughout the country because they're using it so much. It can take up to six a day. What you do is you take two in the morning just as a regular supplement, and then two again a half hour before intimacy or exercise, and it frees up that testosterone so you get all those good feelings. And so sexual relations are better, and you get more out of your workout and get more lean muscle, you know. So, because without an optimal testosterone level, you can't build muscle. So, that's
Right,
important.
absolutely, absolutely. So, you talked about the something that just reminded me of something. So you said weight gain can cause people to be self-conscious and not want to have sexual relations anymore. But I've also heard a lot lately about women gaining weight when they're going through menopausal symptoms. So why does that happen? Why is there that menopause belly, as people term it?
Yeah, it's not an easy time for women because I hear all the time, I'm doing exactly what I've done all my life. I'm eating the same, I'm doing the same exercise, and I've got this extra around the middle. And when the hormones, you know, decline, that's what your body just is kind of like hibernating, and it wants to hold on to that fat. And what I've read over the years that women tend to gain 10 pounds with menopause, with or without hormones. You know, it's just your body's changing. What you were doing before may not work now. You know, before I could eat a fruit for 2 days and lose 10 pounds. Doesn't work that way anymore. You know, so your body just changes the way it metabolizes your food. Anything white that you eat, sugar, flour, rice, potatoes, alcohol, any of that wants to hang around the middle. And wine many times is a problem for women because they love their wine after work. And that, you know, I had this one lady, she had this little belly that she wanted to go away to fit into this dress for a wedding. So I said, okay, humor me. Just stop the wine for 2 weeks. She stopped the wine, her stomach flattened out. She wore the dress to the wedding. When I saw her again, she had her little belly back. And she says, well, I figured life's better with my wine. I don't care if I carry around this little belly. So, you know, it's all in, you know, a trade out as to what you want out of life. You know, some women are going crazy with the workouts, and you know what I've learned is for a good old age is walking and weights is your best answer, you know, and of course having a good strong core and really focusing in on your nutrition. You know, what are you eating? What are you sneaking? What are you having before bed? You know, and really again do a little self-analysis. Keeping a food log, you know, is very enlightening, you know, that you are, oops, I had a scoop of peanut butter. Oops, I had this, you know. That you don't really think of it as, you know, well, I didn't have it as a meal, but I walked through the kitchen, did a scoop on the M&Ms, you know, so it all
Right.
adds up.
Definitely, definitely. So when estrogen drops, does that cause intimacy to feel harder avoided? Is what happens when the estrogen drops in terms of
Well,
libido?
that can really, it works hand in hand with the testosterone, but the changes downstairs, you know, if you don't have the estrogen coming in, things become more friable and dry and to the point where it can tear. Actually, the skin can tear having relations. And I remember when I first started optimizing hormones, I was sitting at a restaurant with my mother. And I was pointing out to her the women that had the benefit of estrogen as they aged. And she's like, how can you tell? And it's the little old ladies with that thin, friable skin. Looks like you could tear it if you touched it.
Yeah.
They didn't have the benefit of estrogen as they aged. My mother, who's 91, clear as a bell, still singing in the choir, doing all this good stuff because she aged with good hormones. Her skin is nice and thick like mine. Of course, there's a few more spots and a few more wrinkles, but it's nice, healthy skin. It doesn't tear when you touch it. It doesn't look like that skin that just is not healthy. You know, it's good and thick. And what's going on up here is going on down there. So things can get crispy and uncomfortable, and you know, penis go away. You know, you don't want it down there. Also, without the estrogen, it can lead to more urinary infrequency or, you know, leakage. And that can be embarrassing during relations, you know. So there's a lot of change, especially if they had vaginal childbirth, you know, where things get a little bit more stretched out and not as tight and comfortable as it used to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so bizarre to me though, like human bodies change, but we hold so much shame around these natural aging, these natural things that happen to our bodies as we age. You know,
Yeah.
like I was so guilty of it. I just, if something embarrassed me or if my body was not up to, you know, sexual encounter with my former partner, I would do the same thing like you. I would hide, or I'd make up an excuse, or I would just I would get angry. And it was anger because I was angry at myself, because not knowing how to
Right.
express how I was feeling to make him
That's
understand,
it.
and then feeling so bad about it.
Yeah, it's like when we're growing up, we don't talk about puberty, and as time goes on, we don't talk about menopause. You know, now it's much different with social media and all that. There's a lot out there, and
Yeah.
you know, so people are speaking about it more, talking to their friends, getting referrals. Most of my patients are referred to me by other patients because, you know, it was life-changing for them, and they want to feel as good as their friend had. They, you know, I want what she's having. But I think, like I said before, is changing the way you look at it, not as shame or blame, but more curiosity. You know, hey, you know, we used to go out, you know, when you came home from work, but now all you want to do is sit in that chair.
Yeah.
Is there something I can do to help you, you know, want to go out, go for a walk, whatever? You know, being more the helper, not the accuser.
Yeah. Getting curious. I remember being 10 years old and I found this book on the body, and I literally took it from the doctor's office. I hid it and I went home and I closed, locked myself in my bedroom. And I remember studying it and learning about the period. But it was something I did so secretively. You know, it wasn't like I was like, Mom, tell me about this. I was hiding in my bedroom with this book that felt like this dirty magazine that I wasn't supposed to be reading. Yet it was on the human body, which is so bizarre. Let's talk about hormones. So there's a lot of talk about hormones and getting the right dose of hormones. So what happens when testosterone and estrogen are not synergistic? Is that a word, synergistic?
Yeah, it is. That's a good word. That's where the trouble comes in, you know. And like I said, you know, before menopause, chances are you're producing enough estrogen and progesterone. But the testosterone is the first thing to leave the building. And so just getting that topped off can really make all the difference. You know, especially for the libido and you know, sexual thoughts and sexual satisfaction, you know, it kind of wakens things up down there, you know. And one of the
Right.
things, hormones, as testosterone is first coming in, it can even make the nipples tender. So it kind of wakes the girls up. So, you know, things just start happening, you know, getting all these different feelings that can be good. I mean, life's too short not to have good relations and have, you know, sex, even if it's just with yourself. I've always said
Yeah.
that I have some of my best sex by myself.
Huh?
My husband doesn't like that.
We will put that part out. I'm just kidding. No, it's true. And it's so healthy to explore your own body and to understand what you like and to not be ashamed of that.
Yeah. If I've had some young patients, how do you have an orgasm? I'm like, oh, Lord.
Oh, man. I remember going to a sex store in my 30s because I hadn't had an orgasm from like intercourse. And all these women were talking about how they were having these orgasms from intercourse. And I was like, what? I've never had that before. And so I remember going to a sex store and asking the lady, how do I do this? And she handed me this toy and she told me how to use it. I remember buying it. I walked out with this red bag and I put it in my desk. I was working at a law firm and I was just like so excited to go home and plug that sucker in. And I taught myself how to do it. And nobody talks about that either. You know, you see sex on TV and it's like, it looks like this magical experience. But when I had sex for the first time, I didn't really feel anything.
No. And that's important, is to know what works for you, so you can actually guide your partner into giving you what you want, you know, what works, you know, because they can be doing all kinds of magic down there that you're just like checking your nails. But if you can give them a little bit of guidance, you might have a better experience.
Yeah. So let's talk about real life. So I know like stress, kids, work, and mental load. How much of this affects libido? And if your hormones are optimized, does this affect it less?
Yeah. I had a patient, it was actually a male patient, called me and said that like overnight he had an erection issue. And I said, it's psychological. You're under a lot of stress. Oh yeah, I'm under major stress. I said, that's all it is. I said, it'll get better. But if it happens that quickly, that's what it is, you know. But if it's, you know, coming on over time, that could be a whole different thing. But also one other thing besides that is health issues. Like guys have had heart attacks. I went into AFib over Christmas, you know, then you're like, I don't want my heart to go too fast, you know, so what am I going to do? Never have sex? You know, no, I figured it out. You know, but the other health issues can tie into it. And like, I have patients that have had back surgery that went sideways, and sexual relations is just off the table. You know, they find a way, but it's not the what it used to be. And that's really sad and can be very depressing, is when you have those health changes that you're learning as time goes on. Things are being taken away from you that, okay, you no longer can run, you can no longer do this, you can no longer do that. And then, you know, then the sex thing, if you're not feeling good, is just kind of, like I said, the last thing on your list of things to do. But it's so important that you need to find a way to rally, you know, because it just helps your brain function better. It helps your relation better, your humor, your, you know, you just feel lighter.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the process. So how does this process work? If someone out there is listening and they're like, oh, I want my libido back. So what, how does the process work?
Well, the very simply is getting a lab test. And if you're here in the United States, you can contact us. We will send you a prescription where you can get your labs done at a local LabCorp Quest. And then we can set up a consultation and review them and see if this is appropriate for you to have your hormones optimized, which usually, you know, if you're over 35, it usually there's something we can do to tweak it. And we test all kinds of different things. We test red blood cells, white blood cells, to make sure you don't have an anemia, leukemia, or infection. We do the sugar, the kidney, heart, liver enzymes, the thyroid four different ways. Vitamin D is in dog, B12, and then the hormones. And so we'll have a good picture of who you are just on your labs. And that way we can make good recommendations how to get your mojo back, you know, how to get you feeling better. You know, and sometimes, you know, if your sex hormone binding globulin is high, and that's it's high on many women that have taken birth control pills for years, the free TE can help with that. You know, so if you're not really ready to jump into hormone therapy or not sure about it, you know, you may want to start with something like that. And then you can also order my book online on our website. We have it, and you can on the front page you can order it. We send it to you for no charge, so that you can become more educated and comfortable with hormone replacement therapy. You know, so that you can learn about it and make your list of questions. You know, so you know what you're doing. You know, don't bank on ChatGPT or any of these things, because I've read that over 80% of their menopause information is wrong.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. If ChatGPT is going by mainstream and the average doctor doesn't know to test a woman's testosterone level, then it makes sense that the data out there would be skewed. It's just so important to be an individual, you know, and not like that is all just averages and information, but we're the ones living in our bodies, right? And
Exactly.
so it's so important to advocate for yourself. I have heard that there are risks involved in hormone therapy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
A lot of that is misinformation from a study that was done in 2002, the Women's Health Initiative, and now they're all backing off on that. You know, the black box warning has come off estradiol, and it's soon to come off testosterone. But honestly, I've been prescribing hormones for 30, 40 years, and it's not hurting anybody. I mean, I don't have a, you know, a mass group of women with breast cancer, because the estradiol has been proven. There's not one study that shows it causes cancer, not breast cancer, not any kind of cancer. The testosterone is very protective for the breasts and also for the guy's prostate. So, the studies are showing that it's healthier to age with a youthful level of hormone. And like, say you get your labs back, you're looking at them, and it shows your testosterone is in the normal range. Well, that's in the normal range for women in your age group that don't feel well, that are not getting treatment. You need to talk to an expert, somebody that does this, to really get a good interpretation of your labs. Because if you're not having a good libido, that's a true sign that your testosterone is in the gutter. So if you have it tested, your doctor says, oh, it's fine, a lot of times they'll say it's fine because they don't know how to treat it. You know, so I
Right.
guess the question to your practitioner would be, do you treat low testosterone in women? And if they say no, you need to search around and find somebody else. Because, you know, they'll say, oh, you can have an estrogen patch and progesterone pills, but you're missing that component that gives you that good feeling, good sleep, good mood, less anxiety, less depression, you know, just good feelings.
Yeah, and so this is another thing that I've heard that would be a good question for you. When women start something like progesterone and estrogen, I was told that it could start to affect the thyroid. Is that true or is that also a myth?
If it does, it's minimal, you know. And what we do is, that's one of the reasons we check the thyroid so thoroughly when we start, is because the symptoms of a sluggish thyroid, meaning your labs are still in the normal range, but not in the optimal range, the top of the range. The sluggish thyroid, the symptoms can overlap with low hormones. And so I don't want to fix one and still have you not feeling well. So, you know, the thyroid gland at the base of your neck can help with your energy, your mental clarity, your metabolism for your weight. And then a lot of times that can be a slight correction of the thyroid can help get rid of those extra pounds. Helps with your hair, your heart, your skin, a lot of different things. So, you know, it's important to check that as well. But for libido, it's not the thyroid, it's the testosterone.
And so, in terms of the hormone therapy, oh, the pellet treatment is injected into your body. And so it's a constant release. For someone who's perhaps on different types of hormones, is there an optimal time to take hormones? And does hormones, are they affected by any type of supplement, or is there something you should not be taking when you're using hormone therapy?
If you think about it, what we're doing with bioidentical hormones is replacing what you used to naturally produce, meaning the molecule of the product is exactly the same as what your ovaries used to produce. So there's nothing, no medication you can't take, nothing you can't do. What was the first part of your question? I always start with the end of your question. I'm
Optimal
sorry.
time.
Oh,
If
to
there's an
take it?
optimal time to take it, like morning or night. I know with the pellet, it's a release that happens over time, so it's constantly moving through the body. But if someone isn't eligible for that and they're taking it a different way, is there an optimal time to take it?
I usually tell my patients to use it first thing in the morning because that's when you want to feel good. You want your levels up. But you can play with it and find out when your prime time is. If you like to have relations in the morning, maybe do your testosterone at night so that your levels are up. Or but your progesterone, usually if it's oral progesterone, you need to take it at night. The reason you're taking it is to protect your uterus from a buildup of the lining from the estradiol. But most, you know, big pharma progesterone, unless it's compounded, has a somnolence effect, meaning it helps you sleep, it helps your brain relax, it helps with anxiety, it helps you relax. And you don't want that in the morning. Well, some people do, but I would rather have a good sleep and then that'd be perky for the day. So if I were doing those methods, I would take my progesterone at night, then my estradiol and my testosterone in the morning. Or sometimes you can divide your testosterone, like if you're using a cream, do half of it in the morning, half of it at night, or just do a second dose of it at night. You know, it's a
Okay.
bit more balanced.
Perfect. And the last thing I think I can think of right now in terms of this is I've been seeing a lot of like these yam creams and all of this other stuff on social media. What is
Yeah,
that?
we call those phytoestrogens, meaning they're plant-derived estrogens that they sell like at Whole Foods or whatever. The problem with that is if you're bringing that in, your body will perceive it to be an estrogen, and it can build up the lining of the uterus. So you need to be taking progesterone as well if you're going to bring in those other things. To actually get in enough yams to help you with your hormones, you probably have to eat a bushel of them.
Oh my
And I
gosh.
don't think that would be very pleasing.
That's a lot of yams. I don't think I could do
Yeah,
that.
no, a little good.
No, absolutely. So when women, your patients start to feel better, what do you see shift in them?
Oh my gosh, the whole energy shifts. I had this one girl, a young girl, I've told you about her before, I think. She had just had a baby and she came to me and she's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I've got a perfect life. I've got a great house, a loving husband. I've got a perfect little baby. You know, life is great, but I just don't have that loving feeling. And I'm like, ah, okay, let's test your. And sure enough, her testosterone was so low that we couldn't even measure it. So I correct her. She comes back 6 weeks later for her follow-up labs. And she was like a whole different person. She says, I'm back. I'm back to my old self. I've got my mojo back. I have a relations. My husband's so happy. I'm so happy. You know, so it can be like major like that, or it can be just a gentle correction, you know, where it's not oh, wow. But usually with the first treatment, it's like going from 0 to 60, and it's like, hold on to your hat. Wow, this is great. And then subsequently, it'll be like 50 to 60. So you don't perceive it as being such a big change, but it's keeping you at that happy level.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. It must be so satisfying just to talk to your patients when they're starting to feel really good.
It is. But on the other hand, there are some that don't respond. And a lot of times it's due to antidepressants. And as I say, the antidepressants can block some of the bad feelings, but they also can block some of the good feelings. So that can be a challenge working around that. And I've used this supplement, the free TE, for women with that, and I've had some success with it. But yeah, that's a tough one. You know, because you want to get their hormones optimized so you may be able to wean them down off their antidepressants, you know, because a lot of times the testosterone will get them feeling so good. You know, we use it as a treatment for PTSD, for returning war vets and first responders. Not because it fixes it, but it helps them feel better, helps with anxiety, depression, mood swings, sleep, relationships, energy. You just go out to exercise to feel, you know, live life. So.
Yeah, I mean, hormones affect the whole body. Like your whole body is hormonal, so it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, we have receptor sites for these hormones all throughout our body. You know, we hear about, you know, the top 10. You know, things that we fix with the hormones, but there's so much other stuff going on there, you know, just helping protect the heart, the brain. I mean, estrogen is so protective for the brain, and testosterone. The studies are showing decreased risk of Alzheimer's if you utilize our testosterone pellets. I mean, that's crazy good. 35 to 40% decreased risk of breast cancer. I mean, the studies just keep getting better and better. Where, you know,
Yeah.
before with a bad study, all we saw in the newspapers is that hormones cause cancer. No, they don't. Hormones are natural. They're powerful. They're what our body naturally produces. How could they be evil like that? They're not.
Right. Well, we're spreading the information, and thank you so much for being here. It was such a good conversation. Sex is something more people should want to have and explore, and like we talked about, even if it's just with yourself, because getting the body and blood flowing like that, it's like a connection to something bigger and better. I don't know. I just like, I can't stop thinking about that dog running around after a good dump. That's how it feels. You just feel alive. It's like my partner used to know if we were waiting too long because he's like, oh man, we really need to have sex because you're on edge, you know? And then you do it and it's like I said, the sun comes out and it just feels so good. So thanks for having this really important conversation today.
My pleasure. Nice chatting with you, Lisa.
So nice chatting with you. And to our audience, if this episode resonated with you, do not ignore it. Your body is giving you information and it's not failing you. So if you want to understand what's happening with your hormones or explore what support could look like for you, you can connect with Carolyn and her team at Low TE Florida, and we will have her information linked in the show notes for you to explore her website, grab her free book, and see if hormone therapy is right for you. Trust me, this is something you don't want to ignore. Until next time, take care, everybody.